Hope we're having an exciting service so far.
Yeah.
Well, today, like I said, we're going to continue in our Book of Ecclesiastes series. Mm. For those who are joining us for the first time, we've been going through the Book of Ecclesiastes in a series titled "The World Is Not Enough." Because isn't that the truth? Yeah. The world really is not enough.
Absolutely.
You know, Ecclesiastes is a unique book. It's unique. Why? Because in some way, it is written to, if you read it, it is written to people who are skeptics, people who are cynics, right? People who do not believe in God. Why? To challenge them and to inspire them. It teaches that, you know, just because you have wine, or because you have wisdom, or because you have work, or because you have women or men, or because you have wealth, all of that is meaningless. The Hebrew word for meaningless is evel, which means vapor. Right? All of that is meaningless. You can have all these things, but doesn't mean that you would still have the happiness that only comes from God's word. Doesn't mean that you would have the satisfaction that comes from God's word. And you see here, what ultimately this means is that, you know, even if we have all these things, all of it is meaningless without God. And this comes from a man who had it all. In fact, he had it, he didn't just have it all, he had it to excess. All right? Now, there's a common quote that you might have heard about in today's world. It's called, hey, you're aging like fine wine. Right? Well, what has heard that before? You're aging like fine wine. I remember one time when I was still living in my self-deceit. I think I was, this was back, I think I turned 23. And I know. keep your comments to yourself. Anyways, I turned 23 and I was going through, I think Google Photos showed me like some pictures from years back. So I looked at pictures of myself from when I was 19. So 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, there was no difference. So I did a bit of editing. I took those five photos, I put them together, and I posted them on social media. I'm like, see, I don't age. I started calling myself, man, Dorian Gray, you know, the immortal. so sad. You know, when people use that term, you're aging like fine wine, it means that you're aging good, right? Especially in your adult years, right? It means that what it means is you've gotten better as you age. You know, kind of like how wine tastes. You know, when they say, you know, wine gets better with time. That's why they tell you, oh, this wine, you know, was first, I don't know, do they brew wine or do they, whatever it is they do to wine. You know, this wine, you know, it was dated 1958. You know, so if you open it, you let it breathe. You pour, why are you laughing? You pour it into the, I've not drunk wine before. You pour it into the glass, you twirl it, and then you go, yes. That is the notion. That wine gets better with time. You know, the more it ages, the better it gets. Right? So it has a better reputation. But the thing is, people can have the same perception about life as well, too. That life gets better with time. Do you think so?
No.
Some people are quiet. Doesn't it get better with time? Well, you see, our text today is going to look into that. We are going to examine if that is the case, that if life really does get better with time. So the title of my lesson this morning is Life Without God is Not Like Fine Wine.
Wow.
Life without God is not like fine wine. You see, many people think, especially younger people, they think that they can postpone a relationship with God until when they get older.
Talk about it.
Don't worry, I didn't come to take shots. But I would know this because I used to think that way as well too. When I was in high school, We had these people that were called Christian brothers and sisters. That was what we called. I don't know what they called them in high school, but we called them Christian brothers, Christian sisters.
See you.
In high school. Yeah. We called them Christian brothers, Christian sisters. We didn't do any acronyms. And you know, they were talking about the Bible and also, you know, their uniforms were always decent. You know, they didn't curse, they didn't listen to like the songs we listened to back then, the Sean Paul, the Jay-Z, the Tupac, you know, they didn't listen to all of those songs with us. The Westlife and Backstreet Boys, they didn't listen to all of those songs with us. And so I remember back then thinking like, man, you know, I think it's good to join these guys. But if I join them, I'll not be cool. You know what? Maybe now is not really the time in high school to, you know, become really close to God. Maybe when I get to university, yes, university will be good. So I graduated from high school, went to A-level college, finished from A-level college. A-level college, I didn't even think about that. No, I still continued. I got to university. I was like, man. And the university I attended is owned by one of the biggest churches in Nigeria. I was like, man, you know, this is a good place for me to really get close to God. You know, I think this is even an ideal environment. You know, I actually had the opportunity to go to a federal university, but I intentionally did not do well in the school's entry exam, because I was like, if I come to this school, this University of Lagos, if I come to this school, I will not read. You know, I knew that I will not read if I come to this school. Well, there's a party every week. No, I will not read. I was like, let me be frank with myself. And so I said, okay. And I went to this. But then I got to this so-called Christian university. You know, I played the part on the outside that I needed to play. But by the time I was graduating, I was like, man, I haven't gotten close to God in 5 years. You know, so I started waking up in the morning early, pray. And I got to a point, I was like, you know what? Let me get out into the world. When I get into the working world, then I really need to seek God. Then I got into the working world, started making some small money. I said, I'm making money now. I can do this and do that. I can, you know, I can go to this kind of places. You know what? Let's wait till I'm about to get married. Then it will be better for me to get close to God. Because then I can now build my family, you know, godly family. And then as the years rolled by, it got to the point as well, too. I was like, you know what? This is what I will do. I will make sure that I provide for my family. All the physical and financial needs, everything provided for. And I'll make sure I marry a godly woman.
Okay.
You know, I'll make sure my mother gives her this book that is called The Power of a Praying Wife. You know, so that way, you know, she can make sure we have spiritual cover over our home.
Yeah. Come on. Talk about it.
Let's go, bro.
Maybe you haven't thought like this before.
Things happen.
But maybe this thing I'm saying, you can't even relate at all.
You can relate, bro.
But like I said, many people, particularly younger people, think they can postpone a relationship with God until they get older. You know? Because, and here are some statements I've heard at the University of Nairobi. I've gone there a few times, shared my faith. Here are some responses I've gotten. When you invite a student to study the Bible, here are the responses I've gotten. One of them, someone said it to my face. I said, would you like to study the Bible? He said, no. I said, do you mind if I ask why? He said, I'm too young.
Wow.
Bear in mind, while he was telling me this, he was sitting on one of the benches there, and a girl was cuddled very closely to him. So when I came and I mentioned the Bible, she sat straight. I'm like, look, I'm of the conviction that if I see you doing that, and you think that should steer me away, that, oh, you know, that sin, then let me go away. No, that's when I will come. Why should your sin make me feel uncomfortable? Right? Rather, I would come there and make you feel uncomfortable.
That's right.
Right? And the guy told me, I'm too young. I couldn't help it. I laughed a little bit.
Come on, bro.
I was like, really? He said, yes. And I can't remember what I said to him after that. I was too dazed. Remember what I said to him after that, but I said something to him after that. Another response I've heard is Christianity is boring.
Yeah. Talk about it.
Now, I checked online. University of Nairobi is the best university in all of Kenya. Which means according to the ranking I looked at online. I know for a fact Strathmore was number 3. It was there. It was on the list. But it was number 3.
Amen.
You know, the rest of the Arabia was number 1. Amen. You know, that's what they say about, you know, about the mighty and how hard they fall, and how pride comes before a fall, you know. That's what the Bible says about that. But anyways, let's stick to the lesson. But you see, the sad thing here, you know, particularly younger people is, you know, they want to be lovers of pleasure. Mm. Because they feel like being a lover of God will keep them restrained with godly principles. Mm. Oh, so you mean I can't do this? And I can't, but I want to go and do this. But I want to go and do that. Oh, so you mean I'll just be remaining this pegged in this hole, and I can't even turn around. I can't go to Beneath the Baobab's concert in Kilifi. I can't go to... Oh, yes, I know about it. I learned about it this week. You didn't think I would know about it? I know about Beneath the Baobabs. I do. Yes, I was reading the news, and it was about an article about exactly that festival. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
That's what I meant to preach about. Anyways, let's move on. You see, our society has bought the lie that a hedonistic, pleasure-seeking lifestyle can make you happy, even if it's only for a short while. You know, live your best life. You know, if it feels good, do it. Do what makes you feel happy.
Talk about it, bro.
And you see, our text today shows us that what we're going to look at in the Bible today shows us that we cannot afford to delay in seeking God. Why is that? Well, think about it. If we delay in seeking God, while you're delaying, what are you doing in the meantime? Mm. What kind of decisions do you think you're making in the meantime? Right? The truth is, we end up making stupid decisions.
Yeah.
Decisions
right.
that we regret.
Yeah. Yep, talk about it.
And you know what I'm talking about.
Yep, talk
and
about
you know.
It.
You know those times when that friend called you. Hey, where are you? I'm at home. Hey, let's go out on the town this week. Or let's go out in the town. Let's go out tonight, man. What are you doing at home? And you know, this boy is a crazy boy. If I go out with him tomorrow morning, it will end up in regrets.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
You know.
Yep.
You know. This guy, he makes a lot of terrible decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm sure you don't have any crazy friends.
No, I do.
You know, everybody has at least one. One person that you know that once your phone rings, you're like, what does she want? And once you pick it up, they have this offensive name they call you. You know. It just so happens that we have at least one of those friends. But then what ends up happening is the decisions that we make.
Yeah.
The choices that we make. In the time we are delaying from seeking God, what are the kind of choices we make? And those choices, they do a lot of damage to the rest of our lives. You see, the interesting thing is every time, from the time in high school, when I started pushing forward seeking God, I said, okay, high school, I said, I'll go to university. University, I said, okay, I'll go to like it. Every time I kept doing that, right, the decisions I kept on making continued to just ruin who I was. It was in that time period I got exposed and addicted to pornography and masturbation. And that continued with me until my early 30s. And now, that is a struggle that I have to fight and contend with on a daily basis. Because I spent years giving into that sin on a constant basis while delaying from seeking God.
Let's go, bro.
That's my own foolish decision.
Yeah.
Because it might thought that it's not watching pornography doesn't hurt anybody. Mm. There's nothing bad in it. There's nothing. I justified it with so many reasons.
Yeah.
But evidently, it went on to do a lot of damage to me.
Yeah.
You see, it's very naive of us to think, I can pass up seeking God. You know, between 18 and 25 years, I can just, seeking God, maybe not now, and I'm too young to do that. Let me go and flex a bit. It's very naive of us to think we can do that and then we think that we'll be ready at 50 years old to now serve God wholeheartedly.
That's true.
Talk about it.
18, 25, 30. No, not yet. But when I'm 50, yes.
Yeah, talk about it.
Expose it.
It's very naive. Because why is it naive? Because you've, for over 25 years, you've made stupid decision after stupid decision after stupid decision after stupid decision. Do you think those decisions will make your heart now soft to see God?
No way.
No, it hardens your heart. By the time you now get to 50, instead of, oh, let me now seek God, the question, your point is to be, what is the point? What is the point?
Convict us.
That's what it will be.
Yeah.
So if you think, oh, by the time I'm at this age, and I used to think like that too, when I'm 50 and 60. When I'm 50 and 60. And this completely just showed how very, very, I don't even know the word to use. Dumb. I was. Very dumb. Hopefully you're not like me. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 11. Let's get into Ecclesiastes. Like I said, the title of the lesson is Life Without God is Not Like Fine Wine. Ecclesiastes 11. We're going to pick it up from verse 7. Ecclesiastes 11 from verse 7. Alright, so I start reading. Verse 7, it says, light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. Man, isn't that the truth? Light is sweet.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like it when there's been like 8 hours of power outage and then the power comes back on?
Yes.
Who doesn't like it? Who doesn't like it when it has been cloudy all week? Raining non-stop. And then the sun comes out. I was so excited this morning. I was so excited this morning. Because when it started raining last night, I was like, ah, if it continues raining tomorrow morning, I'll get some calls about how it is raining. And about how a friend that said they will come to church will not be able to make it because of the rain. So when I woke up this morning and I saw the sun, I was like, woo! Come on! Excuses are gone!
Yeah.
I was so excited. But it's always nice to be able to see the sun, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's nice to be out. People are happier when the sun is out.
Yeah.
We'll continue here, verse 8. It says, however many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all.
Amen.
But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Light is sweet, but there will also be days of darkness.
Yeah, that's true.
How many of them?
Many.
Oh, my days.
Talk about it.
Oh, my days. You see, I remember this quote I came across when I was a teenager. It says, if life is like a piano, the white keys represent the good times, and the black keys represent the bad times. You need both to make music.
Yeah.
I saw that code, I was like, this one, I'll never forget it. Because it is true.
Yeah.
Life is made up of both good times and bad times.
Yeah.
You know, we can't have one without the other. But it goes on here, it says, for there will be many, everything to come is meaningless. Verse 9, you who are young, hey! Be happy while you're young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth.
Talk about it.
You know, those who are young in the house, it says, be happy. Woo! Right? Be excited.
That's right.
You know, have an awesome and fantastic time.
Yes.
What does the Bible say? It says, follow the ways of your heart.
That's right.
And whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment.
Try.
All of a sudden, you're feeling like I was set up. You're feeling like I was set up.
Yes.
I was told to be happy.
Yes.
I was told to be, I should feel filled with joy. I was told to follow the ways of my heart. Yes. Do that.
Try.
But check this. All those things you do, you will answer for them.
Wow.
About the first time I came across the scripture, I was like, so just sitting by the side.
Yeah.
You want to make bad decisions, go ahead. You want to make choices that you know you regret. Go ahead. Or rather, choices you know that are poor choices. Go ahead. The Bible says that it will not go unanswered.
That's right. Talk about it.
It will not go unanswered. You want to go on a night of binge drinking? Go ahead.
Well,
you want to enjoy the free mind that smoking bank gives you? Go ahead.
Don't worry, bro.
You want to have a you want to go from party to party? Just try that entire weekend. It says go ahead. But guess what? All of those enjoyments will be answered for. You see, in this text here, it says light is sweet.
Yep.
And like I said, it's pleasant to see the sun, right?
Yeah.
It talks about how, you know, it's pleasing to the eyes. It pleases the eyes to see the sun. And that is true. But I think the question to ask here is your time, if you think about your times with God, are they sweet? Is your time with God sweet or is it stale?
Ask us, bro.
Your relationship with God, is it sweet or is it stale? You know? Do you lean back and think about it and you're like, or there's nothing to think about? Right, for the guests that are, and with the disciples here, how's your relationship with other disciples? Is it sweet or is it stale?
Come on now.
For our guests who are here, how is your relationship with the person? For our guests who are here studying the Bible, how is your relationship with the person studying the Bible with you? Is it sweet or is it stale? Is it a case of, if that person doesn't call you to remind you about the Bible study, you breathe a sigh of relief? Is it a case when they call, when the phone rings, you're like, I completely forgot about this Bible study. You know, I'm encouraged by my friend Arnold. I think it was on... Wednesday, we are set up to have a Bible study together. And that's what Arnold always does. Before he comes to my place or wherever I'm meeting, he'll give me a call. Hey, bro, we're still having a study today? Yes. Okay, where? This. Okay, I'll meet you there.
Wow.
So on Wednesday,
that's,
you know, I forgot that I had booked an appointment with him, a Bible study with him, and I booked another Bible study on campus at the same time. So in my hurry to just get out of the house and get on campus immediately, I was just walking with purpose towards my Buddha to get on the Buddha. I just said, Tolani! This is very strange because in Kenya, people don't shout, they don't yell your name. So it was very strange. You know, I've grown accustomed to it. So because the other day I was in Quick Mart and I saw Kaka Fred. I was like, hey, Kiongozi! He just said, that's how they know you're a foreigner. So he called my name and I turned back and I see him coming across the road. And the minute I see him, I'm like, hey. I said, I forgot that we had, I had another one at this time before I arranged with you. He said, no problem, that I was calling you. I looked at my phone. I saw 2 missed calls. I said, I'm so sorry. But you see, that's what I'm talking about. Right? Like, you know, for our friends who are studying the Bible, is that the heart you have? You know, the Bible study ends, you're looking forward to the next one.
Yeah.
You know, you're even asking, hey, you know, the next time is going to be so long. Can we find another time in between that time and this time to complete this? Is that the heart you have? That's the heart you would have if you find the Bible studies sweet.
Yeah. Wow.
But if they're not sweet, then guess what? You're going to put them as far apart as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was studying the Bible, I would have classes from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. My master's program was crazy like that.
Wow.
From 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. my house classes, my Bible studies were 6 p.m.
Wow.
That same day.
Oh,
that same day. And because my program was, what they would do is, you take a module, what you guys call a unit. That unit, you start on Monday, by Friday, the lecturer is done with it.
Wow.
So that unit is the only class we're having that week.
Wow.
So let's say I'm doing introduction to telecommunications. From Monday to Friday, it's only introduction to telecommunications from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Oh my gosh.
Now, it is hectic, but what you don't know is they give you 2 weeks of study, and then you write your exam, and then that's done.
Okay.
And it's that for every unit.
Wow.
So there's a lot of free time in between as well, too. You see, with university students, that talk of, I don't have time, you and I both know it's not true.
That's right. Talk about
you
it.
And I both know that it is not true.
Yeah. Talk about
it. I've been to university as well too.
Yes.
And I know I had a lot of time. Why do I know I had a lot of time? Because if I tell you all the TV shows that I began and finished in university, if I tell you the number of times I played Halo, I played Football Manager, that I played Call of Duty, while studying electrical electronics engineering. And I still did not fail. I finished with the second class upper division. So you say, oh, I don't have time. No. You and I both know that is not the truth.
Talk about it.
There's a lot of time.
That's right. Talk about it.
But like I said, if you don't find the Bible studies sweet, then you'll put anything in its place. You know, how is your prayer life? How is your evangelism? Is it sweet or is it stale? Right? Does a relationship with God bring pleasure to your soul?
Wow.
If we go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Well, David writes extensively just about the word of God. Psalm 119.
This is great.
I'm going to read verse 103. Psalm 119, verse 103. Psalm 119, verse 103. Right, if you're there, I'm going to read. It says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Are God's words sweet to you?
Good question.
Right, or does it leave a bitter taste in your mouth?
Talk about it.
No, like I said, the Bible, God's word, comforts the disturbed, and it disturbs the comfortable.
Yeah, talk about it.
So if you are comfortable in your sin, the word of God is going to disturb you. It's going to leave a bitter taste. Right? But if you are disturbed by your sin, the word of God is there to comfort you.
That's right.
You see, being a disciple is an awesome life.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't think of
that's
any life I would trade for being a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know, when I was doing I studied the Bible, I was in London doing my master's degree at the University College London.
Mm-hmm.
Before I got there September 2014, I started studying the Bible February 2015. That was when I made disciples. From September to February, I don't think I ever went out or went to go and see. You know, this one, I'm going to London, I'm going to see the sights, what? I did not see any sights. I sat in my room, went nowhere. Becoming a disciple actually exposed me so much to so many of the activities in London.
Yeah.
I got to do so many things. That was the first, after I became a disciple, was the first time I went paintballing. Oh, you better believe.
Right.
Oh, you better believe. Paintball. You see, that's what I'm talking about. You know, it was the first time I went paintballing. Right? They put these paint pellets inside a gun. And you go in a setting and then you guys shoot each other. You know, that's the first time I ever did anything like that.
Yeah.
It was the first time I ever went swimming in London. Swimming in a pool. You know, it was the first time I ever did that as well too. There are so many things. It was the first time I would try different restaurants and whatnot, and I visited different places. Because naturally, I'll just stay indoors in front of my laptop and watch what I want to watch till daybreak. That was naturally my nature. I'm not naturally outgoing or adventurous. You know, someone has to like if I'm going to do it. You know, I've been a disciple with an awesome life.
Yeah.
Right? It's fantastic. I mean, just the privilege I've had to just be able to meet people from different nations.
Yeah.
You know, it was being a disciple that inspired me to start learning Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I started learning Spanish in London.
Come
And then it was being itself that even inspired me to also pick up my French again, and you know, and start to brush up on my French. And of course, being a disciple also inspired me to learn Kiswahili. You know, you know, as I can say something like Ninasema Kiswahili Kidogo. You know, so it's Kidogo Kidogo. Kidogo Kidogo with Jaza Kibaba. So, you know, it's an awesome life. I can't think of a life that I would trade for it. You know, I can't imagine that if I was working as an IT engineer, somebody would tell me, hey, go learn to speak Kiswahili for what? Oh, why would I want to do that?
That's right. Yeah.
You see, but you see, people get so consumed with wanting to be pleasure seekers. Mm. You know, I want to go seek out pleasure. You know, when I meet people like that, like, I mean, I just feel like I'm going to be bogged down. I feel like I'm going to be bored. I don't try to. Ah, no, don't do it. I know you want to go and seek pleasures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. I found in my experience that people learn very valuable lessons.
That's right.
That they would never forget.
Mm-hmm.
When they go and do that.
Yeah.
Very valuable lessons.
Yeah.
So I said, if I stand in your way, if I've told you, it's not wise, mm-hmm. but you still think things will turn out differently for you
mm-hmm.
than it did for somebody else or for me when I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I to stand in the way of you learning a very valuable lesson? I will not do it.
Yeah.
I will not do it.
I'll
you know, I won't do that. But you see, the world teaches us to get into this rat race.
Mm.
You know, chase down. What dreams do you have? What ambitions do you have? Chase it down. Mm. Do whatever it takes to grab it.
Yeah,
secure the bag.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That one is...
It was chase the bag, but it became secure the bag.
Mm.
Right? And many people think that the only true enjoyment in life comes from possessing something, which is like, man, look at what I have.
Yeah.
Right, man, look at, did you see what I just, yeah, I just got this watch yesterday, you know. Yeah, just this car, just, you know, I just, yeah, it was just something I just bought, just, you know, just a little treat for myself. Yeah, you know, I don't know, man, ni God.
Six, me.
God. You know, and people think that's where the trade money comes from. Look at what I possess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at the car I have. The car I have is a house on its own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how I arrive in my up country with a house on the move. Is it that, or people think true enjoyment comes from knowing someone?
Do you know?
The other day I was just in Dubai. And, you know, just, you know, spending time with some of the CEOs from tech firms in Silicon Valley.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, by the way, I was featured in Forbes 30 Under 30. And, you know, I was just, it was just one of those little meetings that I get into have. I think the CEO of KCB is calling me.
Oh. Uh-huh. Come on, talk about it.
People take that true enjoyment. They think that is life of true enjoyment.
Mm.
So they think it's from, it comes from possessing something, knowing someone, or being somewhere.
Mm.
You know, what does that mean? I'm on top of the world. You know, I'm at the height of my career.
Mm.
You know, I'm at the peak of my life. I'm at the prime of my career.
Yeah.
And I don't realize that's actually not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah.
Because whatever peaks, when you peak,
mm-hmm.
what does that mean when you peak?
Yeah.
For those that either you did economics or whatever, when you peak,
mm-hmm.
what does that mean?
What
comes after declining?
Ah, yeah. I mean, you have reached the point, which means there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
But
down. That's true. Talk about it.
I said, oh, I'm at the peak. You're at the peak.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I guess we'll now watch you from there. There.
Mm-hmm.
And this tends to happen to people. It happens to footballers, it happens to businessmen, it happens to celebrities, it happens to so many people, you know, which is the case with life. But you see here is that all of these things, possessing something, knowing someone, being somewhere, All of these things are pointless without God.
Yeah.
You see, God wants us to enjoy life.
Yeah.
But don't do dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Mm. Don't be stupid.
Yeah.
Don't do things that you know. You already know.
Come on,
you know.
Tell us that, bro.
You know. There was a time like that, I was like, I remember this guy said, let's go out for an all-night party. Not normally, I don't go to concerts for that specific reason. You might be surprised, I've never been to a concert in my life.
Come on,
bro. I don't like the crowd. It's just, I find it very off-putting. Rowdy, I don't like it. So I said, let's go for an all-night party. Against my better judgment. I said, look, if I'm going to go, you're driving, yes. That means we leave when I say we leave. He said, of course. I said, dude, I don't want to get there. And they're like, man, I said, let's go. And I was like, no, man, just give me 5 minutes. Give 5 minutes. 5 minutes become 2 hours. He said, no. You say, if you're not happy with it, we leave.
Ooh.
We get there. I think around like 11 p.m., 12 midnight, I was like, nah, look, I'd rather just leave. I go to this friend of mine. Dude, let's go. Hey, really? Just give me 10 minutes. We eventually left at 5:30 a.m. in the morning.
Yep.
Oh,
no.
I said, never in my life. This was years before I studied the Bible. I said, never in my life am I going to go for an all-night party. Never. But I knew that this friend of mine, this so-called friend, once he starts having a good time, I'm on my own.
That's right.
And, you know, but we know those kind of things. You know, we know the kind of decisions that we've made. You know, and we know when something similar is coming up again.
Mm-hmm.
I think, okay, maybe this time it will be different.
No.
Really?
Yep.
No, it's not. Like I said, God wants us to enjoy life. But God doesn't want us to be stupid.
That's true.
Instead, we need to be spiritual because God is watching.
Yeah.
You see, the sweetness of our relationship with God would attract others to believe in God's word.
That's right.
They're going to wonder, man, you're not doing any of this stuff I'm doing. I mean, it seems like you're just having a good time. You're having a blast.
Yeah.
Yes. I am having a blast.
Yes.
How was he able to do this? You know, I was very inspired by the story of one of our brothers in the Johannesburg church.
Yeah.
This guy also studied electrical. He's also studying electrical engineering at Wits University. And when I got the privilege of mentoring him while we were there. So this brother had a little issue with focusing on the tasks he needed to do. So we sat down and we did a schedule. What's your timetable? We did the timetable. What time do you wake up? It depends on when my class starts. I say, stop that rubbish now. You wake up one steady time. You wake up at 6 a.m. every day. And you go to bed at 10 every day. And I told him, I said, look, sleeping for 2 hours during exam period is not going to make you pass the exam. Mm,
that's true. Come on, talk about it.
People think, oh, you know what, during exam period, I'm just going to stay up. No, actually, you're doing yourself a lot more harm than good. Mm-hmm. So we did a great schedule for him that helped him to start studying from the time the semester began.
Mm-hmm.
That semester ended. When he got his result, he sent it to me. Of 10 units that he was doing, in 5 of them, he got A.
Wow.
In another 3, got B, and the rest he got C.
Wow.
Now I tell him, so do you think this stuff works? He said, bro, there's nothing else. This is what I'm going to do next semester. So the next semester, I did the same thing on his own, following the same examples we did. And he got all A's that semester.
Wow.
All A's. So guess what? When he goes to Shashe, when he goes on campus and he shares his faith, hey, would you like to study the Bible? And a student like him tells him, I don't have time. Really? You know, I said, really? What do you study? I said, oh, I study philosophy, I study political science, I study economics, I study arts. Oh, well, I study electrical engineering. Really? Yes. And I got all A's last semester. You got all A's? Yes. Or if you meet someone who's also studying engineering, you know that way in engineering students can sometimes be condescending. So like, they're like, I don't have time for this. I study civil engineering. Like, I study electrical engineering as well.
Come on.
And you do this? Yes. Oh, by the way, I got all A's last semester.
Hey, hey, talk about it.
Now, it now becomes, how did you do it? Show me. Now they have time.
Yes.
Now they have time. Now it becomes, show me. How did you do it?
Yeah.
But you see, that's the kind of aroma that is giving off. When we understand that our relationship with God needs to be sweet.
That's right.
That's the kind of aroma we give off. But what kind of aroma do you give off? What kind of aroma does your walk with God put around you?
Wow.
I mean, it's all well and nice to, you know, spray those perfume and everything and whatnot, you know? Oh, that smells nice and everything. But does God's word put an aroma around you?
Wow.
If you're studying the Bible, don't take it for granted.
Yeah.
You have an opportunity to save yourself from so many mistakes.
Yeah. That's true. Come on.
Take it from me, take it from my wife.
Come on, bro. You're late.
You know, you have an opportunity to just prevent yourself from making so many mistakes.
That's true.
Save yourself a lot of hurts.
Yeah.
You know, but of course, you have to put your relationship with God and give it a priority. You know, in the and one other thing is the mark of youth to think that you have all the time in the world.
Yeah.
But yet, there are many people that their life came to an end in their prime.
That's true.
That's true.
So many. True. You know, go back to Ecclesiastes here.
Come on, bro.
Go back to Ecclesiastes here.
Starting there.
You know, in chapter 11, if you look at verse 10,
right,
in verse 10 it says, "So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless." Youth and vigor. All right. You see, we live in a world where youth and vigor is prized.
Yeah.
You know, you go, you see all these youngins. They're like, "Hey, man, you know, I can lift this. I can, you know, my body's maximum operation.
Yeah.
You know, I can lift something of this." There's this competition called, What's it called again? Is it Tri-Fit?
Triathlon.
No, not triathlon. I think it's Tri-Fit. These guys that can lift like heavy weights, they can still run. They run like this distance as well. Yeah? CrossFit. Thank you, bro. Thank you. CrossFit is mad. These guys that you see them muscular, they will do this competition that requires them to do about 500 pull-ups. Yes. Yeah. 500 pull-ups. They'll do. There's a particular weight they need to carry. They carry it up 200 times.
Wow.
And then they still run a particular distance as well too. So the whole goal of this competition is to show how the body can do all the same things, you know, maximally. I saw this competition. I'm like, But you see, those are the kind of things that are prized in this time and age.
Yeah.
You know. I saw this other video of this guy on online. He tied a rope. He put a tablecloth on the table, set it with like food and drinks and whatnot. His wife sat at it. Then he tied a rope to the tablecloth and then started running. The whole goal of it that he could run so fast that the tablecloth would just yank from under the table, but none of the plates or the drink would fall. And he did it.
Wow.
Yeah. He did it. But that is what the word prizes today. Mm. You know, and you see, it is in human nature to love to get into rebellion, especially when you're young.
Mm.
You know, when you're young, you think you know everything.
Mm.
I've got this.
Talk about it.
You know, that always amazes me. It's always amazed me.
Yeah.
It's always amazed me. I get to any country I've been to. This is not to any country. Kenya, Zambia, South Africa, Nigeria, my home country. Anywhere you get on campus, you're 28, you're 29, you're 30. And there's this 19-year-old guy. I think he knows better than you.
Yeah, that's true.
And I asked him, like, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm 19. Do you know how old I am?" He said, "No, I'm 30 years old.
Come
I'm not 30
bro.
Now. This is when I was 30.
Yeah.
Like, do you think I know what I'm talking about?
Mm.
Like, yeah. So do you think in this matter, I might know what I'm talking about? Yeah. No, I'm saying, yeah. But for some reason, You think you know, you know it best. And I find that very puzzling. But it's the mark of youth to think that way.
Yeah, come on, to learn.
But what we don't realize is youth and vigor are fleeting. They are futile. Right? Because we are all aging. Every one of us, we're all aging.
Yeah.
Right? And old age is meant to be enjoyed. It's a blessing, it's not a curse.
That's right.
You know? What I say, oh man, what? Why is there? No! Or you're like, why the heck? They cut everything. I don't want anybody to see anything. You know? Or you start to dye the hair or dye your beards.
Talk about it.
You know? You see, it's not a curse, it's a blessing.
Yes.
Right? Old age means you are smart enough to have lived that long. Because a lot of stupid people die young. Yes. Old age means you are smart enough to have lived that long. Because a lot of stupid people die while they are young because they think they are invincible.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true.
They think they are invincible.
Yeah.
They think they are unbreakable. Is it?
Uh-huh.
And then they find out. When they find out they are not invincible, it's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late because they are dead. That's why it's too late.
Yeah.
You're going to find another visit, then it's too late.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what happens here. Aging is a reality. Mm-hmm. Either we age like fine wine,
mm-hmm.
or we try to hold on to our youth in desperation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the world teaches us that youth and novelty is the idol that we should seek.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's the reason. I mean, why else do people spend millions of money on cosmetic surgery?
Talk about it, bro.
Huh? Why else? Why else do we see an increase in adverts of whether it's anti-aging cream, whether it's skin lightening cream, whether it's anti-dark spots or anti-acne or anti-this? Everything has an anti. Everything.
Yeah, talk about it.
Has an anti. You know? Why else do people dress in a way that somebody in their age should not be dressing?
Expose it now.
Go there, bro.
You see a 40-year-old woman telling you, oh, you know, I still got it. No, you don't.
Expose it now.
Talk about it.
Madam. Madam. You should not be wearing that outfit you're wearing.
Yep, talk about it.
You don't got it. Those that have got it, have got it. Your time to got it has passed. Kindly let it go. And the same thing with men as well, too.
Yeah.
Right? You see some men just acting like they are 20 years old.
Mm.
And I'm like, chief. Yes, that's the title, chief. Do you know that girl looking at like that, she's the same age as your granddaughter.
Yep, talk about it. Call it out.
Call it out, bro.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's the reason why people do what they do. It's the reason why, you know, people post the kind of pictures they post.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you know, I'm out here with my G's, my homies. We are going about on the town. Never weak, never old. Yeah. You know, it is increasingly very sad. But that's the reason people live that way. They think there's some fountain of youth. It's a fountain of youth. You know, I'll live forever. There's this lady, Dolly Parton. Hey. Dolly Parton is in her 70s. The amount of plastic surgery Dolly Parton has done. She says, this is what she said. She says she sees anything bagging, sagging. There's one more thing. If she sees anything bagging, sagging, or is it lagging or something like that, she will snip it, she will cut it, she will tuck it.
Wow.
She's over 70. Some people are too young to know Dolly Parton. But it happens.
Yeah.
Like, she's over 70. You know, but you see, people think there's some fountain of youth, but there isn't. You know, because you won't find happiness, satisfaction, or meaning in that. So if that's the case, then how do we enjoy and live meaningful lives? if there's no fountain of youth, how then do you enjoy and live meaningful lives? Well, in 1 John chapter 1, I just remembered now I haven't given you my first point. My first point is enjoy life by living in the light of righteousness. Enjoy life by living in the light of righteousness. 1 John 1, enjoy life by living in the light of righteousness. So 1 John chapter 1 from verse 5 to verse 7. Enjoy life by living in the light of righteousness. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 to verse 7. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light." Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. All right. It says God is light. And of course, Ecclesiastes tells us light is sweet. So that means God is sweet.
Aww.
All right. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. You see, God is light. There's no darkness in him. We are all supposed to live in the light. So if you want to be spiritually fresh and youthful, right, you have to be youthful spiritually, you need to walk in the light. What does that mean? What does it mean to walk in the light? Does it mean that, oh, you know, as long as I make sure I'm only out during the daytime, that's when I'm walking, but the night time I'm at home? Is that what it means? That's not what it means. To walk in the light means to be open about your sin. That's what it means to be open about your sin.
Amen.
Right? You walk in the light, you're like, hey, because light exposes everything. Right? If your room is dark now, you turn on the light, can see everything. Ooh. Wow. That person did not clean this room like said they were going to clean it.
Yep.
But if it was dark, you wouldn't know they didn't clean the room.
That's true.
But light exposes everything.
Yeah.
Right? How about you? Do you expose everything about yourself?
Talk about it.
You know, people can go into the case of, oh, you know what? No, how do I know that what I'm going to say to them, they don't use it against me? Well, I'm up here talking to you about, you know, being addicted to pornography and masturbation. And like, you know, imagine I was like, how do I know you're not going to use it against me? You want to use it against me? Go ahead.
Yeah, talk about it.
You want to go and tell somebody and say, hey, you know, do you know that guy over there struggles with lust? Maybe that person will even tell you, I know him. Oh, yeah, I know that about him. That's not new. He tells everybody. And then I want you, because we are more concerned with keeping up a bold front, keeping up appearances.
Yeah.
You see, and in the same way that we can have like physical acne, physical dark spots that we want to cover up with makeup, we also have spiritual acne as well too, and spiritual dark spots. I want to cover that up as well too, make it seem like everything is fine, when really everything is not fine. You know, for the guests, our guests today, as your spiritual skin. You know, people can have like, you know, skincare routines. You know, the skincare routine you do in the morning or even in the night before you go to bed. Or if I don't do this, I'm gonna have a breakout. What? Man, I'm thankful to God.
Amen.
Come on. There's a guy that asked me one time, oh, what's your skincare routine? I said, I don't have one. I said, what is that? He said, oh, what you do before you go to bed? I said, psh. The only thing I do is brush my teeth and I go to bed.
Come on, bro.
And he's like, wow, your skin is this. It's the Lord. The Lord don't hook the boy up.
Come on, bro.
You know, so I'm grateful for that. But for you, what's your spiritual skincare routine?
Great
question. Right. How do you take care of all of those things? Do you cover them up or do you expose them? You see, we have to walk in the light and be in the light of God. If we go to John 3. Wait, that was 1 John. Let's go to John 3.
Come on.
John chapter 3. You know, in John chapter 3, we usually know it for verse 16, right?
Yeah.
You know, people are like, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Yeah. Well, let's read it and see what it says after that. Alright? Because we are quick to act like John 3:16, like that's where the chapter ends. It doesn't end there. Verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Okay. That's nice, right? But let's continue. Verse 17. It says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son." So is this, if we stop here, is this to believe like, oh, you know what? As long as I believe, you know, it says there, if I don't believe, but I believe in Jesus. I believe that he's the son of God. I believe that God gave him to us to die for my sins. Amen, I'm saved. Well, let's see what I believe is supposed to produce. Yeah. In verse 19, it says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world." That light is Jesus Christ. "Light has come into the world, but people loved light."
No.
People loved what?
Darkness.
You see, to believe in Christ, to love Christ, means you love the light. It means you've protested, okay, I want nothing to do with darkness anymore. Right? I love the light. Now, does that mean that, okay, oh, this is darkness, so you know what? I'm not going to talk about darkness anymore. I'm just going to start doing things with the light now. Is that what it means? Let's find out. It says, "But people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds are evil." Yeah. Verse 20, it says, "Everyone who does evil..." Does it say everyone who believes, but doesn't matter if they do evil or not? Is that what it says? It says, "Everyone who does evil hates the light."
Yes.
Sorry, who's the light again?
Jesus.
So which means if I continue to live a life of doing evil, but I say I believe in the light, do I love the light?
No.
Oh. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. That's what it means to believe that God sent him to die for our sins. "Everyone who does evil is the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed." So when we believe in Jesus, it becomes a light in our lives. Because it's the light in our lives, it shines the light in our lives. And what does that do? It exposes everything in our life. But in verse 21... in verse 20, it says, "Those who don't come into the light, they do not do so because for the fear that their deeds will be exposed." Verse 21, "But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light." So you live by the truth means you live according to Jesus' words. You live according to Jesus' words, it means you step into the light. What does that mean? It means you expose yourself. Not physically, not literally. You expose all the deeds of darkness in your life.
Come on, Talani.
You know? It says, "Lives by the truth comes to the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." You see, light comes into this world, and light is sweet, which means having a relationship with Jesus Christ is sweet. You see, the world doesn't get open about sin. They tell you, you don't need to know. It's not important. I just think it's depressing if we talk about it. I remember one time I preached like this in Lagos. And after the service, someone came to me and said, "Well, I didn't think it was necessary to be sharing those things you were sharing."
Ooh,
ooh. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. I said, "Really? Why not? I just don't think it's necessary. You can't just come here and tell me you don't think it's necessary. You have to tell me why it's not necessary." I don't know. I just don't think it's necessary. Well, I'm not doing this according to how you think. If you're going to come to me and tell me I don't think it's necessary, then you have to prove to me why you think it's not necessary.
Talk about it.
But that's the way of the world. Yeah. You know, the world keeps up appearances. Everything is fine. Everything is in Zuri. Right? But then they not tell you in the same way, you know, keep it real. Keep it real. You know, the world to the world, keep it real. You say, you know, use cuss words, man. You know, speak your mind. Don't think about how people feel. Just say it. You know, just say it. Let them go deal with their own emotions. Well, in the kingdom, as disciples, keeping it real, let's talk about sin.
Absolutely.
You know that, man, this week, man, I was standing with impatience, or this week I was standing to just cheat. I was having a cut, and I didn't prepare very well, and you know, I was standing to just, you know, turn my head to the side.
Talk about it.
You know, to that person's script, but I didn't do it. That's what it is to walk in the light.
Yeah.
But the world doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So do you keep it real according to the Bible, or do you put up a bold front? Do you keep up appearances? Who is in your life helping you to be open? You see, people don't enjoy life because they're not living in the light. Yeah, people don't enjoy life because they're not living in the light. They are too bogged down by their sin. They are too burdened by it to enjoy life. God sees us in this state. He sees us at our worst, and he wants to help us be our best. All right? But there are some times when people don't get open because they like the darkness. It's not a matter of like, no, I don't know how. For some people, they just love the darkness too much. I don't want to let go of it. Is there any darkness in your life today that you like? Is there any darkness in your life today that you don't want to let go of? You just like it too much. You think that's a foreign concept, that people can like sin too much? Oh no. People can like it to the point like, I don't think I can live without it.
That's true, bro.
Whatever that sin might be. You see, but the truth is, if you don't get open about your sin, even for the disciples here, if you don't get open about your sin, right, what you're doing is you're preventing somebody else who could be helped. Somebody else who's struggling with getting open as well, you're preventing them from actually getting the help they need. But you get open about their sin, it could give somebody else the courage, the confidence to also speak about their sin as well too. And that way they can get the help they need. So when we don't confess our sins, we're pretty much wasting our sins. And don't waste your sin. Don't hide it and bury it and lock it away and throw it into the bottom of the ocean. See, yeah, that's where it should be. No. You should share it so that you can use it to help as many people as possible to have the courage to also come to the light as well too.
That's right.
So that they can get the help they need. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let me move to the second point. Back to Ecclesiastes 12. Don't worry. I'm going to breeze through this. I know I've kept you hostage for a while. Ecclesiastes 12, my second point is turn to God before aging robs you of your life. Mm-hmm. Turn to God before aging robs you of your life. Ecclesiastes 12 from verse 1. It says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. This is quite interesting, is it not? But I'm going to bring it on to verse. I'll do it to verse 8. It says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the streets are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond trees blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Verse 6, remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. You see, without the sun, S-O-N, not S-U-N now, without the sun, everything is truly meaningless. You see, this passage is poetic because you're wondering, how was he talking about grinder seas, when few this. Pretty much is explaining and it's talking about aging. If you look at the part where it talks about in verse 6 where it says, you know, before the silver cord is severed, the golden bowl is broken, the pitcher is shattered.
Okay.
The pitcher is like your body, right? And as you grow older, what's gonna happen to your body? Your body's not going to be able to bounce back from injury like it used to before.
Yeah.
I remember when I was 20.
Come on, bro.
Remember, bro.
Come on.
I remember when I was 20 years old. I played football in university. I played for my department. I played volleyball for the university as well, too. I was in a dance crew. And I did all this at the same time. So I remember back then, I fall on the floor, or I get tackled, football, whatever the case is, I bounce back. Someone kicks me hard. 3 weeks, I'm back. 3 weeks, I'm back on that field. Yeah. No problem. Then fast forward a few years after that, I think I was 29. Yeah, I was almost 30. I went to play football again. Mm-hmm. And we're playing. And so there was this uncontested ball by the side. So I ran to it and wanted to kick it. And this, at the same time, the other guy, the opponent, wanted to kick it as well too. So we go and I kick the ball first, but he kicks my leg hard. Because I was coming for the ball. He kicks my leg hard.
Wow.
Didn't feel anything because of adrenaline. Mm-hmm. But the game ends.
Yeah.
And I begin to feel some pain in my leg minutes after the game ends. And I just do this. I do this. Then the pain begins to increase. Before I knew it, within 20 minutes after the game ends, this is the only way I could get to the car. So I told myself, 3 weeks, I'll bounce back. 3 weeks, I'll bounce back. But 3 weeks came and passed, and the leg did not bounce back.
Wow.
And then it took about maybe, what, 6 to 7 weeks, 8 weeks actually. It's like, that took longer than usual. You thought, okay, maybe he's getting the hint. I didn't get the hint. So earlier this year, we were in Lagos, and my younger brother, 5 years younger than I am, says he was going to play football. Now, he's been doing this every Saturday for the last number of years. I can't remember. So I said, well, let me join you guys. So I join. And we go play. It's a game of like, you know, five aside. So play sets. So my set comes in again, and we're playing. I was past the ball, and I go towards the ball. And I thought to myself, you know what? I can do a quick turn. I just shed off the defender coming. So in my head, I knew what the move I wanted to make. So as I was in my head, I did it. I just went this. As I moved like this, my body said, "What do you think you're doing?" That's the best way to interpret it. I went this, and my body was like, "What do you think this is?" So my knee just went, just a little twist. Well, needless to say, I didn't go anywhere with that ball, except the floor. Oh! That was where I went. No, but that's what happens to your body, right? You're not going to expect Kaka James to go and play football. If he's going to the football field, he's going to watch those who are going to play.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to watch the likes of Tebow and Baraka go and play. He's not going to go there and say, "Hey man, put me in the team as well too. Let me run with you." Because that is the reality of life. And Solomon writes about this, about the aging of the body. He writes it in a poetic way. And that's the reality of life. But he also writes about how not just our body ages, we also age mentally. And, you know, of course, with time, our minds also deteriorate as well, too, just like our bodies do. And you see, people say time waits for no man, and that is true.
Yeah.
So if time really waits for no man and no woman, too, well, we need to serve God while we have the time and the opportunity.
Yeah. That's right.
You see, this text here says, "Remember your Creator, not your God." That's interesting. It says, "Remember your Creator." It doesn't say, "Remember your God." Now, what this does is it addresses everyone, even people who are not religious. Because it teaches you that everybody has a creator.
Mm-hmm.
You did not get here by yourself. You did not just poof. Or no, everyone has a creator, right? It emphasizes that realization. And it was there was this guy, Adam Clark. He's a 19th century British theologian. And this is what he said about this text. He says, "This text shows us that you are not your own. You have no right to yourself. God made you, and he made you so that you might be happy. But you can only be happy. So you can be happy only in him."
Wow. Talk about it.
That's what he wrote about. I'll read it again. He says, "You are not your own. You have no right to yourself." You know that whole motto of, "It's my life." It's not.
That's true.
It's not your life. He says, "You're not your own. You have no right to yourself. God made you, and he made you so that you might be happy. But you can be happy only in him." You see, Ecclesiastes helps us to have a deeper understanding of God's word. But it also trains us to help other people who are seeking idols that are futile and fleeting. Interestingly, if you remember in chapter 1, You know, Solomon talks about how God created us. But here in chapter 12, he talks about how, permit me using the word, he creates us. Right? He creates, and then slowly he also breaks us down as well too. Right? Yeah. He also just, like, okay, I was the one that created you. I put you together. You look awesome. You know, you like the muscles you have. You like the, you know, you like the biceps. You have the, you like all the poses I can make. But guess what? The same way I put them together like that, watch me just begin to deflate those muscles.
Talk about it, bro.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? That's the reality of life. Yeah. You know, no one can escape it. So if you want to make the right decisions in life, well, you have to remember your creator now. If you want to make the right decisions in life, you have to remember your creator now. Now, I don't want to expose anybody, but okay, let me do this way. Please, if you're under the age of 30, raise your hands. Under the age of 30. Wow. Wow. Wow, look at that. That's no, you can put your hands down. No, that's very encouraging. That's very encouraging. Right? But you see here, I think this lesson here is very important for every single one of us. You know, particularly those who are young. Alright? You think, oh, there's a time, maybe now is not the time. Actually, the time is now. The best time really is now. Because this is your prime time. This is your prime time. Everyone assumes that God is so gracious. That he will always give us an opportunity to be right with him. You know, everyone assumes that. That God is so gracious, he's so merciful. You know, he's not going to allow me to die without getting close to him. He is going to give us chances.
Yeah.
And he continues to give us chances. But I hope making the most of those opportunities.
Wow.
You see, because, but to go and think, oh, I would always have time. That's not true. You will not always have time.
Yeah.
Because as people age, the older you get, the more there's going to be a spiritual hardening of heart. As you grow older, you get more hard. That's how this world is designed.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to face a lot more disappointments.
Yes.
You're going to face a lot more discouragement.
Yeah.
You're going to face a lot more the rejection, dejection, frustration, irritation. Right? And you're going to deal with them in the way the world deals with irritation and frustration and rejection. And what that's going to do, it's not going to make your heart softer towards God. It's going to make your heart harder towards God. Right? And if you look in Hebrews 3, we have to learn from the example of the Israelites. In Hebrews 3, a letter written to the second generation of Christians, right? Just wanted to point this out to you. In Hebrews 3, verse 7, it says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Verse 7, Hebrews 3, verse 7. It says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. But that's what happens. You know, you can even hear this message today, but if you don't do anything about it, your heart is going to get hard. If you don't make the right decision after this message today, your heart is going to get hard.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen year upon year upon year upon year.
Come on now.
And you find out that, okay, now I'm 50, but I still don't feel drawn to seek God. But that's because your heart is not even harder than it was when you were 25.
Wow.
You know, and but that's why I have to ask you, do you make time for God?
Yeah.
All right, do you plan your life around God? You know, you plan your life, you're like, okay, you put God front and center, then now you now plan the rest of your life around him. Okay, let me do this here. Okay, let me make sure. Right? Do you do that, or do you do the case of, let me plan my life? Okay, I'm going to pursue this here, pursue that here, pursue this here, pursue that here, pursue this. Okay, great. That's my plan. Okay, now where can I squeeze God in?
Yeah, talk about it.
Expose it now.
I think I have 2 minutes on Monday before I... Yeah, let me do 2 minutes right there.
Talk about it.
Then on Wednesday, I think I have another 10 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, I just do first of the day and some meditative... Just, you know, sit down silently, waiting for a gentle voice to speak to me. I think that will count there too. Although I can't do it every Wednesday, but maybe one Wednesday in a month, I can do that.
Talk about it.
Let me find a way to squeeze God in. You know we can do that.
Yeah.
We plan our life.
Yeah.
I'm,
right,
I'm chasing the bag. I'm securing the bag here. I'm doing a side hustle here. I have my full-time job here. I'm going to school on the side as well too here. Then you now look for... After all that is set, let me find a way to squeeze God in.
Ooh.
Talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then find out like weeks can go by. Oh, I didn't have time. I didn't have time for God. But yeah, God has time for us.
Yeah, come on.
You see, people harden their hearts over time, right? But the good thing is, if we remember our Creator now, and we make a choice to follow Him now, right? For those of you who are young here, younger, right?
Because that
might give you the wrong impression. I'm only 34, okay? So calm down. I'm only 34. So for those of you who are younger, right? You know, if you remember your Creator now, and make a choice to follow Him now. But you will choose a spouse who is a baptized disciple.
Come on,
and you will save yourself from a marriage of heartache.
That's true.
You know, if you remember your Creator now and you make a choice to follow Him now, you will have a career that He will call you to. And you will enjoy that career without compromise.
That's true.
No one's going to ask you, hey man, you know, if you don't do this, you're not going to make this amount of money. If you don't do this, you're not going to get this contract. As a disciple, you already know where your stand is. And people will know
That's
where
right.
your stand is as well, too.
That's right,
I remember I was working a full-time job, right? This guy thought, oh, I would change the figures on some quotation so that, you know, we can both enjoy the money together. He was like, oh, no, that money that I put is enough for me. Whatever I feel I should put on top of it, you put it, and then when the money comes, I'll give you that part of it. I just looked at him. Actually, it was on the phone. I was like, adjust this quotation. It's for your own good. I'm not doing this for my own good. So they're gonna hang up the phone. Then he called my mom. Because he knows my mom. He called me like, Tolani was talking about this stuff. He wants to help me get this contract. But then, you know, he told me to adjust it. But I told him to just do the adjustment and then he can take the money when it comes. But he said he can't do it. My mother laughed at him. She said Tolani would never do that.
Wow. Come on, Tolani.
But do people know that you won't stand for compromise?
Come on, bro.
Come on. That's great.
You know? But also, if you remember your Creator now and make a choice to follow Him now, you will make a decision that will protect you for the rest of your life.
That's right.
No more
true.
Foolish decisions.
Yeah.
No more dumb decisions.
Yeah.
No more decisions that you wake up in the morning filled with regrets.
That's right.
Nothing like that. You know? And for our guests today, if you are wondering, you know, because sometimes we wonder about it, is it worth it? You know, that question comes sometimes. Is it worth it? You know, I'm just going to be focused on going to church and reading my Bible. I'm not going to do anything fun. But if you think it's not fun, then you really have a misplaced perspective.
That's right.
Of what it means to have a relationship with God.
Mm.
But if you're thinking, is it worth it? Well, consider your life. The life you've lived up to this point, consider it. And let me ask you this question. How is your way working out for you so far?
Good question.
How is your way working out for you so far?
That's deep.
Wow.
If it was working out for you, you won't be here.
Come on.
If it was working out for you, you won't be here listening to this lesson. You see, in conclusion, yeah, 2 Corinthians 5.
Come on, bro.
This
is great.
2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 to 6. Like I said, aging is a reality for everyone. No one can escape it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 1. You know, no one can escape aging. Like, I don't want my body to get old. It is going to get old. Okay, it is going to get old. Everything is going to wrinkle and sag at some point. That's bound to happen. The bones are not going to bounce back as quickly as they used to anymore. You know, you're 21, you're 20, you're 25, you're 23, 22. Enjoy it. Enjoy it, okay? I remember when I was 24 as well, too.
Yeah.
You know, as Tebo can remember when he used to be 24.
What?
Excuse you? But anyways, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, it says, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, We groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Mm-hmm. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Now, if this is confusing to you, well, pretty much what Paul is saying is that, look, while we are here in this body, we are burdened, we groan. You know, we go through all these difficulties. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. My mother, what do you mean by it's good? It's good. Because now you can look forward to the new body you get in heaven.
Come on, talk about it.
Yep.
Right? Because if life here, if life down here was not hard, why should you look forward to heaven?
Yep.
If that life down here was cushy, was comfortable, was nice and soft and plushy, no traffic jam, everybody in luxury vehicles, everybody has a driver, everybody has a maid, a chef. You know, everybody lives in penthouses. Everyone has a account with bottomless funds. Everybody has everything they want. I said it before one time. I said if everyone is riding in luxury vehicles, so who's going to be the driver?
Come on, talk about it.
Right? If everyone wants to have the money, everyone has the money to eat in 5-star restaurants, 7-star restaurants, or stay in 7-star hotels. Who's going to be the maintenance staff? Who's going to come in and change the sheets when you go out?
Talk about it.
Who's going to do that? Who's going to do that stuff? Who's going to be the waiter at a restaurant if everybody was a millionaire? That'd be quite interesting, eh? You see, God allows us to go through these challenges because without them, we will not be looking forward to heaven.
Yeah.
But sadly, for some people, this world is the only heaven they will know. That's the honest truth. For some people, this world is the only heaven that they will know. That's why they do everything they can to hold on to it. They do everything in their power to cling onto it. You see, we have the Holy Spirit within us. Alright? And that's the guarantee. That's the deposit. I say, hey, after your life is done on this earth, don't worry. You're gonna get a brand new body.
Come on.
You know, the one that's not gonna twist when you turn like this. It's not gonna tell you, what do you think you are doing? Alright? When you try to think, I'm still young.
Yeah.
Right? Even though we are aging, we have a new body to look forward to.
Yes.
But only if you are a sold out baptized disciple.
Come on.
If you are a true disciple of Jesus Christ. So what is the conclusion here? Well, the conclusion here is simple. Life without God is not like fine wine. It does not get better. It will not get better with time. We need to remember and obey God before we die. You see, there's a funny story about this guy. He's a single guy. And every time he goes to weddings, the older people at the weddings will always come up to him and be like, hey, you're next. Other people just come, you're next. So the guy got tired. He got fed up of those people, older people coming to him and saying this thing. So you know what he did?
Bro.
He started going to funerals. And he'll go up to the older people at the funerals. You're next. You're next. You see, someone said that's unfair. he got sick of it. Like, what's the meaning of this? So what do? You go to funerals, and he does other people as well. You're next. You see, the amazing thing about these scriptures in Ecclesiastes is this: it calls us to remember God. That's why it says, remember your God, remember Him. Right? It calls us to remember God. Because God remembers us even when we don't remember Him. You see, family and friends, it's time to remember God.
Amen.
You know, it's time to remember God. For those who are younger, don't let the world lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't let the world lie to you. You don't need to be going out there and making decisions or choices that you later regret.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be going out there and making choices that you'll be like, man, you know, if only I had known. If I had known better. You know, if I'd, and trust me, the mindset of like, oh, you know what, maybe it'll work out differently for me. Yeah. No, it does not.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, it does not.
That's true.
About it.
You know, maybe that was him or that was her. With me is different. No, it's not.
Yeah.
The form of destruction is the same.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things. Devil doesn't discriminate. So, like I said, do not let the world lie to you.
Yeah.
Right? You don't need to be going out there and making dumb decisions.
Amen.
Life is sweet with the Lord.
Yeah.
So sweet.
That's right, bro.
So let's make sure we enjoy it. Thank you, and to God be the glory.
Yeah.